Jayaradha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopichanda Palata Gurubhari Thari. Gopichanda Palata Gurubhari Thari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Bhanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Vajra Kacha Satya Satya Shri Shimla Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhu Pada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samavir Vakravindi Ki Jai Gaur Vimananda All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Garanga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 47, The Birth of Lord Krishna. Titascha Sharir Bhagavat Prachodita. Sutam Samadhaya Sasutika Grihat Yada Bahirgan Tumi Yeshatarya Ya Yoga Maya Jani Nanda Jaya Ya Tatascha Sharir Bhagavat Prachodita Sutam Samadhaya Sasutika Grihat Yada Bahirgan Tumi Yeshatarya Ja Ya Yoga Maya Jani Nanda Jaya Ya Tatascha Sharir Bhagavat Prachodita Sutam Samadhaya Sasutika Grihat Yada Bahirgan Tumi Yeshatarya Ja Ya Yoga Maya Jani Nanda Jaya Ya
Yeah.
Ladies. Thereafter. Cha. Indeed. Shari. Vasudev. Bhagavat Prachodita. Being instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sutam. His son. Samadaya. Carrying very carefully. Sa. He. Sutika Grihat. From the maternity room. Yada. When. Bahi Gantum. To go outside. Yesha. Desired. Tarhi. Exactly at that time. Aja. The transcendental energy who also never takes birth. Ya. Who. Yoga Maya. Is known as Yogamaya. Ajani took birth. Nandajayaya, from the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in a position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his Godhead. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yashoda and as the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti on the authority of Harivamsa. So, according to our schedule, we're supposed to cover texts 40 and 49 also, so I'll just read through those. 48, 49. By the influence of Yogamaya, all the doorkeepers fell fast asleep, their senses unable to work, and the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudeva appeared, the closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Anantanaga, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, followed Vasudeva beginning from the door, with hoods expanded to protect Vasudeva and the Transcendental Child. Purport, Sheshanaga is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose business is to serve the Lord with all the necessary paraphernalia. When Vasudeva was carrying the child, Sheshanaga came to serve the Lord and protect him from the mild showers of rain. Jai. Om Gyanatipanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurumitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhischa Kripasindibhyabhicha Bhatitane Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Prabhupada. So, we'll concentrate mostly on text 47 in the purport. It's kind of a very interesting part of the story and an interesting little twist or further expansion of the birth of Lord Krishna, involving both Devaki and Yashoda. As it's explained here, it says that Devaki and Yashoda both gave birth to Lord Krishna, and Yashoda also gave birth to Subhadra, or to Yogamaya. Now this is, of course, somewhat interesting, because normally we consider Devaki was the mother of Krishna. Yashoda gave birth to Yogamaya, and then the two children were switched. And so that Krishna, you know, of course, was raised by Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. But it turns out, according to this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that it was a little bit more involved than that. So in this particular purport, and in several purports in this whole sequence of verses about the birth of Krishna and the role of Yogamaya, Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries several times, so I thought I would just actually read those, and because they do give a little insight in how both Devaki and Yashoda could both be the mothers of Krishna. So this is first from the purport for this particular verse. Chakravarti Thakur says, when Vasudeva was about to leave the prison, Yogamaya took birth in Gokula as the daughter of Yashoda. The Harivamsa says that in the eighth month of pregnancy before full term, Devaki and Yashoda gave birth at the same time to their children. But the Bhagavatam states that Yashoda gave birth after Devaki. How to correlate these contradictory statements? Exactly when Devaki gave birth to Krishna in Mathura, Yashoda also gave birth to Krishna in Gokula. After that, as described in this verse, Yashoda gave birth to Yogamaya. Thus, two children appeared from Yashoda at different times. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.9, which describes Yogamaya as Anuja, the younger sister of Krishna. But when Krishna appeared from Yashoda, it is not stated that he had four hands. Therefore, it's understood that Krishna appeared from Yashoda with two hands because she worshipped Krishna without understanding his Godhead. But Vasudeva and Devaki worshipped their son as Vishnu. And in the last purport to this chapter, Vishwanath says, the fact that Krishna was also born to Yashoda is not very well known. Because Yashoda and Devaki were friends, Yashoda gave her fame to Devaki and allowed Devaki to become famous as the mother of Krishna. The name Yashoda means to give the dati fame Yasho. However, the name Devaki is also another name of Mother Yashoda, as stated in the Brihad Vishnu Purana. The wife of Nanda had two names, Yashoda and also Devaki. Therefore, it was natural that she, the wife of Nanda, developed friendship with Devaki, the wife of Shauri, Vasudev. This is also in accordance with the Vaishnava Toshini, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Is that all clear? Now, exactly how this all happened, obviously, this is all due to the work of Yogamaya, who we will talk about today. So, you know, it's interesting because I remember the first time I read through this chapter many, many years ago, I didn't catch this because, I had seen it in Vishwanath's commentaries, but I didn't realize that actually the Prabhupada discusses this in his purport and mentions that Krishna was actually literally born to Yashoda. So apparently Yashoda had two births, both Krishna and Yogamaya, and then of course the two babies are switched. What happens with the two Krishnas? I have no idea. Don't ask me. But anyway, this is Krishna's inconceivable transcendental ability that he can do anything that he wants, and he can make all of these wonderful pastimes happen. I think that it is interesting that Krishna was actually born to both of his mothers, and so they both are his mothers, but yet Devaki is known generally as the actual mother, the birth mother of Krishna. And it's described that Yashoda, being very generous to her friend Devaki, wanted her to have that fame. They're actually very close. I believe that, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but Nanda and Vasudeva are actually half-brothers, aren't they? Same father and two different mothers. Nanda's mother was a Vaishya, and Vasudeva's was a Kshatriya, so they have the two different positions. So the two families are extremely close. And of course, Rohini was also Vasudeva's wife, who, for her own safety, was staying in Vrindavan and gave birth to Balaram, Krishna's brother. So very, very close connection, obviously, between Nanda Maharaj, Madhyashoda, and Vasudeva and Devaki. And so therefore, they're all Krishna's parents, we can see. I want to talk about three basic things. First, the understanding of this pastime, especially as further elaborated by our acharyas. Secondly, what is the meaning of this to us? Why are these details important? And thirdly, I wanted to talk a little bit about the role of Yogamaya, who appears very prominently in these pastimes and is mentioned several times, and also kind of what Yogamaya means to us as devotees. So why do we have these detailed knowledge, and our acharyas go through these different scriptures, and they come up with this detail and this detail, and they try to synthesize contradictory opinions. Well, Bhagavatam says this, and this scripture says this. Well, I was thinking there's several reasons. First of all, our minds and intelligence are always active, and they need something to think about, or something to debate about, or something sometimes to argue about. So we have everything that we need in Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's leelas and the scriptures. If we want intellectual challenge and ways of engaging the mind, we can fully engage them in Krishna's service in understanding his pastimes. But also, it's also something that we should understand. We should want to understand everything about Krishna. Krishna says, "One who knows in truth, the truth of his pastimes and of his birth, goes back to Godhead." So it's actually, we have the direct instruction in Bhagavad Gita to try to understand Krishna's birth and pastimes and understand all the different manifestations of it. Sometimes we also can understand deeper meanings or deeper instructions from these pastimes. Sometimes the pastimes even have symbolic meaning. For example, the six sons of Devaki were actually, we learned earlier in the first and second chapters, were the six sons of Marichi, and Prabhupada explains in those long end notes to the end of chapter one how those six sons represent the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and etc., and how they all had to be more or less killed before one comes to Krishna. So there's a very symbolic meaning to us of how we have to get past all of these materialistic qualities to be able to achieve Krishna. But on the other hand, we want to be very careful about not giving some interpretation or assigning some metaphorical or symbolic meaning to any of Krishna's pastimes. We do this when we are given that information from our acharyas and from Srila Prabhupada. For instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how the different demons represent different bad qualities when Krishna kills the demons in Vrindavan Leela. But we don't concoct that. We don't say, "Oh, I think this pastime means this, and what Krishna is really doing is this," because that's a very dangerous mental speculation. And in fact, we know that Srila Prabhupada often condemned so many interpreters, especially a Bhagavad Gita, for those sort of wild, reckless interpretations and how they attribute symbolic meaning rather than the literal meaning that Krishna gives us. For instance, Srila Prabhupada would say, when Krishna says aham in Bhagavad Gita, he says, "I am this, I am this," they would say, "This does not really mean Krishna, it means the Krishna within you," or some impersonal interpretation. So when we try to interpret ourselves, we can run into great trouble. But sometimes when our acharyas give us some of these deeper understandings and meanings, then we can benefit from those, and we can see how we could apply these concepts and apply these pastimes in our own devotional life. And I think when it really comes down to for devotees, the biggest reason why we want to discuss all of these details about Krishna and Krishna's appearance is because everything about Krishna is relishable to the devotees. These are simply wonderful pastimes that attract our hearts and attract our minds to Krishna. So everything that we hear about him, everything that we can understand about him, all the details of Krishna's pastimes just become so wonderful and nectarine for the devotees. It's interesting we use this word nectarine. I heard some BBT editor told me it's not actually a word in English, but anyway, I think it works real well, so it should be if it isn't. But at any rate, we relish Krishna's pastimes and all the details of Krishna's pastimes and simply try to hear from the acharyas and understand the best we can, even though we're somewhat limited in our ability to fully understand Krishna.
Okay. So
one of the things that we can understand is, I think, to gain an appreciation, understanding of the role of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya seems to be very prominent in these pastimes. We understand how Yoga Maya engineered the whole birth, engineered the switch of the babies, the escaping from the prison by Vasudev, and so many of these things. And then, of course, ultimately becomes switched with Krishna. And I think that comes into the next chapter, doesn't it? Where she flies into the air when Kamsa tries to kill her and basically explains to Kamsa, again, what a fool he is. He's heard it several times now, but he has to hear it again. So Yogamaya again tells him what a fool he is, and he becomes a little bit humbled at that point because when she manifests herself as Durga, that's something he could relate to, being a materialist. And then it's explained how Yogamaya also expands as Mahamaya into this material world and is known by so many names, Ambika, Durga, etc. And so we get a little bit of understanding about Yogamaya, who also, of course, appears as Krishna's sister, Subhadra. Subhadra is the personification of the Yogamaya energy. Now, strangely, we don't hear much about Subhadra again until later Subhadra marries Arjuna, right? And, you know, but there's not a lot about Subhadra in any of the early pastimes that I know of. Maybe they're in some of the other scriptures, but I haven't really run across them, so it's kind of interesting. Did you explain it yesterday? Oh. Is it Gopal Champa? She takes birth again then, later. Okay, another one of these inconceivable pastimes. Gopal Champa. Okay, so that explains maybe her missing the missing years of Subhadra through. What's that? Well, it's called Yogamaya, but we understand the connection between Subhadra and Yogamaya too. But anyway, again, more of the intricacies of the pastimes. I don't want to get too far diverted into that particular detail. So basically, we often talk about the energies, or we talk about the personalities of both Yogamaya and Mahamaya. We can understand that Yogamaya is the internal potency, the internal energy of Krishna, where Mahamaya, who expands from Mahamaya expands from Yogamaya as being the personification of the external energy. In the purport to 4.16.12, Srila Prabhupada says, here are two kinds of Maya, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya, and both of these mayas are different expressions of the Lord's internal potencies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears through his internal potency, Atma Mayaya. And then from 10.1.25 purport, Prabhupada says, in the spiritual world, the Lord's potency works as Yogamaya, and in the material world, the same potency works as Mahamaya, exactly as electricity works in both a heater and a cooler. So that's an interesting example Srila Prabhupada gives that, you know, and especially in Florida, we have these, what are they called, heat pumps or something? Anyway, you basically your air conditioning and your heating come through the same apparatus. The same appliance creates both heat and cooling, which seem to be very opposite, you know, very, very different effects. And so in the same way, we have the same energy or same personality, but manifested in two very, very different, almost opposite ways. One as the spiritual energy and one as the material energy. So what is the role of Yogamaya? It's kind of interesting because as I was sort of researching this topic, I found that Yogamaya appears in many different places, in many different ways, and has different roles and different attributes. So there's I tried to make a list of some of these and so show some of the different ways that the internal energy or Yogamaya acts and how that affects devotees and everybody actually within material and spiritual worlds. First of all, on a very basic level, Yogamaya covers the intelligence of the non-devotees so that they don't know Krishna. And Prabhupada explained once that when Krishna appeared on this earth, only a handful of people, although millions and millions of people saw him. Think about the battle of Kurukshetra. He was there on Arjuna's chariot. Millions and millions of people saw Krishna or had some connection with Krishna. But Prabhupada said, I think once he said maybe 50 people. A handful of people actually knew who Krishna was. Why not? Krishna, I mean, it's one thing to say people read about Krishna and think he's a mythological personality, but what about when Krishna's right there in front of them 5,000 years ago? Why didn't they understand? This is the Yogamaya potency. In fact, this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Krishna says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. And so the word used in Bhagavad Gita is Yogamaya Samavrita. So first of all, Krishna uses Yogamaya to cover the non-devotees so that they can't understand them. Why? Because that's their desire. Krishna is fulfilling the desires of all living entities, and if their desire is to forget Krishna, then Krishna gives them that ability by covering their intelligence. Just thinking, sometimes we see that even the materialists can have great intelligence. Some of the things, I mean, people who are working in areas of quantum mechanics and cosmology, sometimes it's interesting that you can see that the theories that they come up with and their deep understanding seems to come real close to a spiritual truth. They start understanding things that seem like, oh yeah, that would lead one to understand some of our principles of Krishna consciousness, but they don't come to that conclusion. Because that intelligence, as great as it is covered. And therefore, they come up with another conclusion, even though there's evidence pointing to the truth of the spiritual reality. Secondly, on the flip side, Yogamaya allows the devotee to know Krishna. In other words, Yogamaya lifts that curtain of ignorance and gives knowledge to the devotee. In the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2746, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yogamaya, helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionally with the advance of one's surrender. So the degree that we surrender into Krishna, he rewards us accordingly, and the internal energy helps the devotee come to him. So that's why the devotees are always very, very much attracted to the internal potency of Krishna. Of course, for the devotee, the internal potency is also is manifest as Srimati Radharani, and who is the original personality of the internal potency of Krishna. So also, Krishna manifests all of his spiritual energies through Yogamaya, through the internal energy. All of the spiritual expansion comes from Yogamaya. In Bhagavatam 3:635, verses, O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work, and potency of that gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the word, the Sanskrit word is Yogamaya Mahodayam, which means from the strength. Based on the strength of Yogamaya, even the universal form and all these different manifestations of Krishna come into being. Also stated, the material opulence of Brahma cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord, because the transcendental opulence in the spiritual world is caused by Yogamaya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by Mahamaya. So, therefore, all of the spiritual manifestation, the spiritual opulence, is all part of Yogamaya. The devotee also feels the protection of that internal potency. Devahuti knew that her husband was a highly elevated transcendental position and was under the shelter of Yogamaya. The Supreme Lord has two energies, material and spiritual. The living entities are marginal energy. As marginal energy, a person may be under the control of the material energy or the spiritual energy. So we're basically always in Maya. we're always under the influence of one of the energies of Krishna, either Mahamaya, the material energy, or Yoga Maya, the internal energy. It says, Kardama Muni was a great soul, and therefore he was under the spiritual energy, which means that he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. So, we see how Yoga Maya works for the devotees, how Yoga Maya is involved with the whole expansion of this of the spiritual world, of all the spiritual energies. And of course, we also see throughout these pastimes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Yoga Maya helps direct and manifest Krishna's pastimes. Just as we saw how Yoga Mayas are making all of these arrangements for Krishna's birth, opening, you know, covering over the prison guards, putting them to sleep, opening the doors, that type of thing. So very much involved in Krishna's intimate pastimes. One other aspect that we often think about Yoga Maya in a very specific way as it applies to devotees, particularly advanced devotees of the Lord, is that the Yoga Maya covers the intimate devotees to increase their love of Krishna. So in one sense, Yoga Maya covers the non-devotees so they can't understand Krishna and gives knowledge to devotees to understand Krishna. But there's another category where Yoga Maya covers the intelligence or understanding or the knowledge of the devotees so that they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it increases their loving relationships. So when they're in intimate relationships with Krishna, such as Krishna's parents or Krishna's friends or the gopis, Krishna's lovers, they do not want to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So their bhakti is not so much influenced, we talked about this earlier in this chapter, by Aishwarya and by Jnana. So the sense of opulence or the sense of knowledge of Krishna's actual position would somewhat diminish that pure love of Krishna. So therefore, it is covered by Yoga Maya to increase the loving relationship. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Lord Chaitanya himself explains this. He says, the influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Then he says, actually earlier verse, all the universe is filled with conceptions of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, this is in his explanation of why he takes this role of Radharani when he comes, or the mood of Radharani when he comes on this earth 500 years ago as his own devotee. Because too much on reverence spoils this more intimate form of love, which is the highest and the deepest love that Lord Chaitanya wanted to experience. So, of course, we have many, many wonderful examples of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda sometimes seems to have some knowledge of Krishna, and then it's covered over by Yoga Maya. Like when Mother Yashoda looks into Krishna's mouth and he's manifested in the universal form, she becomes bewildered. What is this? Who is my son? Then immediately, out of his kindness, Krishna covers her with Yoga Maya so she can simply think, this is just my wonderful young boy, Krishna. Here's from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.44. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Purport. Although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, and in the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yoga Maya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yoga Maya. Mohana Sardhamya Mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yoga Maya. So again, to enhance the love of his devotees, the Yoga Maya potency works in such a way so that they're not overwhelmed by this mood of awe and reverence or Aishvarya, and so that they can engage in this very intimate relationship with Krishna. And there's several other examples of the ball of the when Lord Brahma stole the calves, how he was covered by Yogamaya, and etc. So we can see many, many of these examples in the pastimes of Krishna. So I'll just finish with a little bit longer quote that really explains this very succinctly. This again is from the first chapter, those end notes, that long section where Srila Prabhupada expands upon many of the concepts from that first chapter, and I try to condense this somewhat. In other words, the entire creation has two divisions, transcendental or spiritual, and material. Yogamaya manages the spiritual world, and by her partial expansion as Mahamaya, she manages the material world. It's stated in Narada Pancharatna, long Sanskrit verse, bewildering the conditioned souls and liberating the devotees are both functions belonging to Yogamaya. Transferring the pregnancy of Devaki and keeping Mother Yashoda in deep sleep were both done by Yogamaya. Mahamaya cannot act upon such devotees, for they are always liberated. The distinction between the two Mayas, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, is described as follows. Krishna's rasa lila with the gopis and the gopis' bewilderment in respect to their husbands, father-in-laws, and other such relatives were arrangements of Yogamaya in which Mahamaya had no influence. The Bhagavatam gives sufficient evidence of this when it clearly says, Yogamayam upashrita. On the other hand, there were asuras headed by Shalva and Kshatriyas like Duryodhana who were bereft of devotional service in spite of seeing Krishna's carrier Garuda and the universal form and could not understand Krishna to be the supreme personality of Godhead. This was also bewilderment, but this bewilderment was due to Mahamaya. Therefore, it's concluded that the Maya which drags a person from the supreme personality of Godhead is called Jatamaya, and the Maya which acts on the transcendental platform is called Yogamaya. When Nanda Maharaj was taken away by Varuna, he saw Krishna's opulence, but nonetheless he thought of Krishna as his son. Such feelings of parental love in the spiritual world are acts of Yogamaya, not Jatamaya or Mahamaya. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. So, we experience Yogamaya. We experience the internal energy. Perhaps not always in a conscious awareness, but still, the devotee who is following the orders of the spiritual master, chanting Hare Krishna, and performing sadhana bhakti, comes under the influence of the internal energy. It is considered that a devotee is no longer subject to the same laws of material nature, is not subject to Mahamaya in the same way as the non-devotee. So we often experience, to some degree, Yogamaya. We experience some glimmers, at least myself, the very small glimmers, of the spiritual world, of our actual spiritual nature, of the transcendental reality. Sometimes we have some understanding where Yogamaya lifts that veil of illusion and helps us to understand Krishna. And of course, sometimes Yogamaya acts in such a way to further our devotional service. One way I see that sometimes Yogamaya works in my life is when someone asks me to take on another service and I know that I shouldn't do this, and somehow Yogamaya comes over me and I say yes, and then later I wonder how did that happen, you know. But generally I'm under Mahamaya. That's one of the few times I think that Yogamaya is acting, since it does increase my devotional service to some degree, you know. But generally these are, you know, these are very important topics. They're very deep topics for devotees, understanding the internal energy of Krishna and how that differs from the material energy. And as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we start to see the distinction more and more. We start to understand that we have a choice, and that it's really there for us on a more neophyte stage. You know, the material energy and the spiritual energy both present themselves to us. And while in general we are under that internal energy and we certainly are protected by Krishna in our service, still the degree that we make advancement, as one of the purports we read, has to the degree of our surrender to Krishna. So the more that we surrender to Krishna and the more that we accept that influence of the internal energy and accept, you know, that we are spiritual beings, part and parcel of Krishna, his eternal servants, and the more that we act on that platform under the direction of the spiritual energy, then the more we make advancement and realize that relationship. Okay. So I'll stop at that point if there are any questions or comments. A few hints here. I think Keshe I saw first, then Trivikram, then.
Srila Prabhupada, sometimes on the tapes you would hear, he says, be a yes man for Krishna.
So, be a yes man?
Be a yes man for Krishna. Uh-huh. So sometimes services come up, and a lot of times I say no, and maybe others too. But is it, can you say that, well, there's always a yes for Krishna that's under Yoga Maya?
Probably, yes. Yeah, I mean, any time that we're engaging, in other words, all devotional service is under the internal energy. You know, so any time that we're engaging in Krishna's service, when we're accepting that service, yes, we're certainly under internal energy or Yoga Maya. Yeah. Trivikram
Prabhu? So it stated that Yoga Maya took many different forms in the world and would be worshipped as different deities, like, I don't know if like Durga and Kali and so forth. And these names, right? Was
yes.
Durga? Yeah. So I'm wondering how these forms would help the living entities to actually understand Krishna.
Well, of course, those are the forms of Mahamaya. As we said, Yoga Maya expands as Mahamaya, and those forms, Kali, Durga, Ambika, that are mentioned, are really the different expansions of Mahamaya. And of course, we know that Maya is a pure devotee, and Maya has a what we call a thankless job of keeping the living entities in illusion. That's her service to Krishna, and that service is to actually fulfill the desires of a living entity. Because they want to act independently in this material world, therefore they're given that facility, and Mahamaya gives them that opportunity, gives them the material situation, and also covers their intelligence so that they think that they are the enjoyer and the controller. So that is their service. At the same time, there's the there's not only the covering potency and the throwing and covering potency, but there's also sort of the, I don't know if there's a Sanskrit word for this, but we call it the kicking potency, or the, we find ourselves in this material world experiencing difficulty. And so the idea is that eventually, after so many lifetimes, we wake up. We get the idea that we're not really having a good time here. This isn't really working very well. This whole sort of program of trying to be Krishna, you know, just isn't working, and we're really just encountering suffering and difficulty, you know, and so much stress, anxiety, and tribulation, you know, so that we finally wake up and realize my real position is servant of Krishna. Okay, Padamahan?
The name Purnamasi comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, where is she in the chronology of this?
Purnamasi is very connected with Yoga Maya, isn't she? And she may be a personification of Yoga Maya, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I was.
I think she is. Yeah, Purnamasi, of course, is the aunt of Radharani. What's her relationship with grandmother? I don't know. Oh, so she's not related to. Okay, but anyway, she's arranged. She helps arrange all of these different pastimes. You know, so yeah, I believe Purnamasi is a is Yoga Maya. Yeah, Ganga, Naya?
I believe you brought up the question of where, when Vasudeva brings Krishna over to Mother Yasoda, and Krishna had already given birth to, Yasoda had already given birth to Krishna, and what happens to the Krishna? And I believe I read it in one of the purports in Srila Prabhupada's 10th canto that the Vasudev Krishna that Vasudev brought merges into the original Krishna.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't quite sure I didn't want to say that, but that's what I thought I heard read too, that they merge. Yeah.
Also, yeah. One other point is that from Srimati Radharani, all the internal energies expands. So just as Krishna expands his energies, Radharani also expands her. And Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, both expansions of Srimati Radharani.
Yeah, that's a very important point. I actually should have put more emphasis on that. That because Radharani is the manifestation, the personification of internal energy, then Yoga Maya expands from Radharani. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's important. Let me see. Are there any others? We always get accused of not looking over the women's side if there are questions or comments. Just want to check. Okay, nothing back there. Okay, come on.
I was just going to say how Krishna does that quite often, like when in Dwarka, he was in the 16,000 palaces, but then he comes as one Krishna again when he went into the office, so to speak. And then in the Rasa dance, Krishna, everybody. Mm-hmm. So he knows how to do that.
We actually, if you look through the 10th canto, you could find example after example of how the internal potency is working and how Krishna, you know, creates these things that are almost like illusions, and then, you know, that there's... I think we sort of said this, but just to kind of nail that point down, it's kind of important that the illusion that's created, that Krishna creates through Yoga Maya for his devotees, is always to increase the love of the devotees. That's the difference. Where Mahamaya takes us away from Krishna. So just like in that case, I mean, if you're dancing with, you know, you're a gopi, and there's millions of gopis in Rasa dance, but this illusion that only you are with Krishna, can imagine what an ecstatic experience that, I mean, I can't imagine, but, you know, we hear what a wonderful experience that would be, and so you can see that, you know, in other words, Krishna uses that sort of covering potency just to increase the love of his devotees so that they can feel, you know, even more intensely connected with him. And also, there was one other part, one other thing that was very... I don't know if I had written this one down, but I saw this. It was from in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it was in that series of verses in Adi 4 where Krishna indicated that he is almost himself covered by Yoga Maya. In other words, to increase his love, he almost has to forget that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, so that he can, you know, fully enter. I mean, obviously he doesn't, but he doesn't. You know, this is Krishna's inconceivable energy. You know, but he wants to relish actually feeling like I am the small baby, the son of Mother Yashoda. In other words, he can't be completely in, okay, this is fun, but, you know, I'm God. You know, I don't know. I don't want to speculate any further about trying to understand Krishna's mind, but in one sense, he also uses Yoga Maya to enhance his own experience of the pastimes. Yeah, Keshav?
Srila Prabhupada mentioned how Krishna has multifarious energies, Parasya Shakti, Vivek.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, how is that connected to Yoga Maya and Mahamaya? Or if there is a...
Well, they're all part of his multifarious energies. And actually, one of the purports, Prabhupada was saying about how there's the internal energy and the external energy, and he specifically connected that as Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, as being part of those, you know, the variegated or differentiated energies of Krishna. Was there something more you wanted to add to that, or say? I'm not sure if there was a further point or question.
So, in other words, all the energies would fall under Yoga Maya, multifarious.
Yeah, I mean, and I think as pointed out, of course, it all comes from the internal potency of Radharani, then everything, all his energies expand from that eventually, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.